Amen. Well, we are excited for our VBS Sunday. I think you could tell with our kids and entering into worship with you this day. And so what I'd like to do is, we've had a blast on this island, all right? And so we want to share with you some of what took part here this week. And we're going to ask you guys to participate. This is everybody participating, not just the kids. And so you guys can see it up on the screen here. But our first point that we learned, and we'll say it together, everybody say, when you're lonely. Actually, because the kids repeat, okay? So when you're lonely, Jesus rescues. That's right. It was in Bible Discovery that we spoke, and this remind you guys of something. We spoke of the parables, right? And we talked about the lost sheep. We talked about the lost coin. And we talked about the lost son. Really, the lost sons, plural. And in it, we spoke of, again, that we don't need to be lonely because Jesus rescues. And we talked about how the Father ran to the Son, this penniless Son, and He hugged Him. He put a robe on Him. He forgave Him. Just this morning, we were praying in our prayer group about what it means to restore broken relationships. Are there some broken relationships in your extended family that need a healing, that need wholeness, that need forgiveness, that you are part of that? You and I are part of that, praying that through, living that through. But we don't need to be lonely because Jesus rescues. And here the Son, He comes back to the Father. And our kids learn that no matter how far you are from God, He's pursuing you. He's pursuing you. You don't have to sit in the muck and mire of living with the pigs. Can you guys make your pig noises? Let's hear our pig noises. Right? And we talked about how the pig was the worst animal in the Jewish culture. I actually took some cat food. It had some liver and beef. Throw in some stalks in there, a little bit of dirt. I said, you know what? This was what he was tempted to eat when he's sitting amongst the pigs. It was leftover, spoiled food when he thought, wait a second, I could go to my dad's house and I'd eat better just as a servant there. But how I talked about how you can make a plan, and he had this plan, Dad, I'm gonna be your servant, I'm just gonna work for you. But there was a bigger rift in the family than just money, wasn't it? It was much more than just about money. It was about when he said to his dad, give me half the inheritance, he said, I am basically saying, you're dead to me. I wish that you would die. That's pretty serious, right? It's pretty serious. Yet, even when he said those words, his father ran to him, hugged him, put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger, and guess what? He didn't have that plan anymore. You don't hear him talk about that plan because the love of the Father that overwhelmed him allowed him to just go, I'm just going to embrace the love that you have for me. And even though I had this plan, I'm going with your plan because, God, your plan is the better plan. Amen. 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 And God, He does the same for us. And then, guys, the verse was Psalm 27:10. I don't hear everybody. Psalm 27:10. And it says, the Lord will hold me close. That's right. And then day two, our Bible point was this. Everybody know this one? When you worry, Jesus rescues. And we had this as our Bible buddy here, our toucan. I know it makes you want to eat Fruit Loops right now, okay? But this is not Toucan Sam, all right? He's actually named as Beacon. And he talked about, again, when you worry, Jesus rescues. And our island friend Jim, who we watch daily, was really worried about a strange animal that he heard in the jungle. And our friend was encouraging him, you don't have to worry. And by the end, he was put at ease, knowing that we don't have to be scared. We don't have to worry and fret because Jesus rescued. And our kids were a bit surprised when we had a couple relaxing, watching Jesus on Superbook. We took a couple kids and we had them over here watching Superbook and eating popcorn. And the other kids were over here, and they were getting a meal ready for Jesus because the disciples were coming over, and Jesus was coming over. So they were vacuuming over here, and they were sweeping over here, and they were rolling out dough. And I said, guys, where's our other friends? And so Anna was one of our other friends. She was chilling with Gabby over here in the room with some popcorn and some watching about Jesus. And we talked about Mary and Martha. Right? And how with Mary and Martha, Martha's working like crazy, right? Thinking, I want to work to get this place ready for Jesus, and I'm doing the most important thing. But yet, Jesus will tell Martha, 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 Mary's choosing the best thing. And the best thing was to sit at the feet of Jesus, right? To sit at the feet of Jesus, to hear him speak, to hear our Savior. And that's so important to have quiet times every day, because it's not just on Sunday morning, but we open up our Bibles and we say, God, I want to speak to you. I know life is busy. I know I have to work an extra shift. I know life is crazy sometimes, but I'm going to take that half an hour. I'm going to take that hour, and I'm going to spend that time reading my Bible and hearing from you, hearing from heaven. Because although this is important, and it's good to show people that you love them by doing stuff for them, that's a love language, acts of service. The greatest love language, Natalie's a little biased, I guess she's right all the time, is quality time. She's a quality timer. Is Jesus wants our quality time. He wants our time with him where he can speak to us and we can speak to him. And so we learn that on day two, that we can relax a little bit at times and take some breathers. Can you guys do that? Breathe in with me. Ah, right. It's a little easier to do that when you got some palm trees around, a little waterfall. I know it's not trickling, but you can imagine. All right. So you just breathe in, breathe out. God wants, when the Lord spoke life into Adam, it says that he breathed the very breath of life into him. We need to breathe, right? We need to have that time with him where we allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us and us to minister to him. And so that was our day two, and that was a great time together. And our day two memory verse was this, Psalm 34:19. The Lord comes to the rescue. Each time. That's right. All throughout the week, our wonderful volunteers were leading our children at the Imagination Station, at the Tropical Treats, at the Shipwreck Games, as well as our crew leaders staying with them from station to station. If you were involved this week as a teen helper or an adult, would you guys stand? Would you stand up if you were involved? Let's give them a hand. Hallelujah. Hey, thank you guys. Thank you for pouring into our kids. Amen. You can be seated. And you know, how many know in the middle of the week it can be a struggle, right? When we look at that hill, they call it hump week because it's on that top of that hill. It's the hardest day of the week, Wednesdays. How many know that, right? That middle of the week can be a rough one, right? And so how fitting was it that the third day's point slide was this? Everybody say, when you struggle, Jesus rescues. That's right, that when you struggle, Jesus rescues. And this day was a lot of fun. Our kids got in their rowboats. Can you guys pretend to row your boat? You're getting in your boat and you're rowing. And I began to sing, row, row. Everybody sing with me. You know this? Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, merrily, merrily. Merrily, life is but a dream. But it wasn't a dream, right? It wasn't a dream. Instead, waves were splashing in, and just water was coming everywhere into the boat. And again, just getting soaked. And it says in the Bible that they had to row, keep rowing, Keep rowing, keep rowing. Don't let a little water catch you down. Keep rowing. They row for 3 to 4 miles. Can you guys say 3 to 4 miles? 3 to 4 miles. And it just kept coming. It just kept coming and coming. Oh, it was insane. It was just so crazy. And Jesus wasn't there. But then they saw what they thought was a ghost. And so they're even more frightened and they're already struggling. And Jesus says, "It is I." And he gets into the boat with them and they see the water stilled. And they're already on the other side. You know, when you're in the midst of your 3 to 4 mile rowing and you just feel like you can't do it anymore, and sometimes you're asking, "Where is Jesus in all this? He sent me on this boat. He sent me on this mission. Where is he? Because all I see is storms. All I see is trouble all around me. All I see is hardship." And Jesus is like, "I'm coming to your boat. And I'm miraculously going to come to your boat. And I'm going to move on your behalf when you're in the midst of struggles and things are getting rough." And we look to John 6, where that passage takes place. In John 6, 16 to 21. And then we flipped over to Matthew 8, where Jesus is in the boat, but he's doing what? Everybody begin to snore, right? Kind of relax a bit, a little lay back. You're a little cool now that you have a little fresh water breeze on you. All right, and I want you guys to snore. Ready?
Meow.
I don't know who meows like a cat when you're snoring, all right? But there is some major sleeping going on, because what happened? What happened? It says, "And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose such a great storm." Do you know some people, that YouTube video, people will actually listen to a storm when they want to sleep better? How many of you are tempted to sleep in when it starts raining outside? Raise your hand. All right, so you start hearing that rain and all that. Jesus starts hearing the rain, and man, he's just going into deeper sleep. Remember, he was fully man, right? Not lazy man, okay, but he's fully man. He has just been used by the Father, and he is spent, right? So spent that not just the water trickle, 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 but we can put that storm back on. And again, the sea begins to rage, right? The sea just begins to rage, and they're swamped by the waves. They're swamped by the waves, and all this is crashing. And the disciples will go up, right? They'll go up, and they'll say, "Mason, Mason, we're going to drown. We are perishing," right? And we talked about perishing, how when you get vegetables, right, they're called perishables, or fruit, they're perishables, because we're going to die, right? Like that's what they're saying. They're saying, "Jesus, save us," right? Save us, Jesus. And I'm sure there's a little bit of frustration in there too. Like, "Jesus, why weren't you awake when this storm happened? Why weren't you awake? Don't you know what's going on?" And so Jesus says, what does he say? He says, "Why are you afraid?" Now, it doesn't say that they replied to him. But, you know, I'd be tempted as a disciple to be like, "Look around. Look around, Jesus." Like, we tend to put ourselves in the Jesus spot. You're like, "Oh, man, disciples aren't having enough faith again. Man, those disciples really got to grow up. All right, they got to be a little bit more mature." No, these waves are pounding in. And Jesus is trying to raise up their faith. So when he says, "Oh, ye of little faith," he's not knocking them down, right? In fact, he's picking them up because he's like, "Watch, if you can have this faith, you can do this too." And he rebukes the storm. And there's stillness. There's stillness. And they said, "What sort of man is this that even wind," I'm not going to throw this, don't worry, "that even the winds and sea obey him." You're like, "This is my nice shirt. Come on." And the disciples, they saw Jesus, that he's not only the powerful God that can heal a body, he's a powerful God that can calm a storm. And it's interesting that he uses rebuke in this, because what does Jesus rebuke as well? He'll rebuke the storm. What else does he rebuke in the Bible? You can shout it out. What does he rebuke?
Satan,
right? He rebukes, it starts with a D. He rebukes the demons, right? He says, I rebuke you, right? He casts them out. Jesus treats the storm like the same way. Now, I'm not putting huge theological depth in this, but Superbook actually has that Satan created the storm, that he wanted Jesus dead. So why not a storm? He sees Jesus is exhausted. Why not hit him when it hurts, hit him when he's down, hit him when he's exhausted, and boom, hit him with a storm that will drown him and his disciples. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't say, Father, will you stop that? Right? He doesn't say, Dad, stop sending the rain. And you can bet he doesn't rebuke the Father. So he rebukes the enemy, and he speaks to the storm, and he says, be still. He doesn't say in Jesus' name, but we would, right? And so it takes place. It takes place. And so when the enemy comes to attack our lives and we're in the midst of the struggle, all good things come from God. And again, I know we say this classic statement like, oh, well, there must be good in this. What if it's the enemy just hurling attacks at you? And you need to stand up with the standard of Christ Jesus and stand and not say, well, you know, just I know God must have caused this for some reason. I think God gets blamed for a lot of stuff that was not God ordained. It was not God done, because we have sin in the world, and there is an enemy that seeks to steal and kill and destroy. And it's easy to blame God. He's a big target. And guess what? He's big enough to take it. He's not like, oh man, I can't believe it. They blame me again. I'm going home. I'm leaving this universe and going somewhere else. God's pretty tough, okay? God's got some tough skin. But again, should we be blaming him for that stuff? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And so I told the kids, this is on my wall. And this is our memory verse. So if everybody can say it together. Everybody say Psalm 46:10. Be still,
be still
and know that I'm God.
And
we have this in our living room, and there's a reason why we have it in our living room. Yeah, it's pretty. It's got really nice handwriting. I probably couldn't do that, okay? But it reminds us that no matter where we are, no matter what's going on, we can be still and know that he's God, that we don't have to struggle, that we can know that he's here, that he's in control, that he's still on the throne. He's not like, what are we going to do? Right? That's why Jesus says, oh, ye of little faith, if you really knew how big my Father is, if you really knew how big me and the Holy Spirit are, if you really knew how big your God is, would you really worry as much? And I know we're human, guys. And like I said, you know, when Jesus says, you know, why are you afraid? I'd be want a quick answer, like, look at the waves. But Jesus wants to raise up our faith, and he wants us to know that we can be still. If we can't swim the worst things, I thought about this. So I took out Arabella and Dylan's, life jacket, and I said, oh, that one doesn't fit. I was just joking around with them. But, you know, with a life jacket, we think about it, and we wear our life jackets because, again, like say we're, like we're water skiing or water tubing and we get the air, you know, just kicked out of us and all of this. But I think about if we didn't have our life jacket, right, and we were just in the pool and we didn't know how to swim well, or maybe somebody pushed us down in the water because they were goofing around, right, and somebody needs to save us, right, and we don't have this on, we don't have on our life preserver, and we just start flailing in the water, that's the worst thing that we can do, right? The best thing we can do is to go, you know what, I can't swim very well, they see me, and now that they see me, I'm just going to be still for them to come and rescue me. Because you can try to rescue somebody, and we're going to play a video of that, somebody rescuing another kid that was drowning in the water, that we watched a kid vid this week. But if you flail all around, it's really hard. In fact, you can drown that other person that's trying to save you. And kids do heroic things too, right? You don't have to wait to be an adult to do some heroic things. And this is an example of a child coming to the rescue.
My name is Gunnar Smith. I'm 12 years old, but I'm almost...
You know, it makes me think of another time we were at a pool, and the pool wasn't too deep on one side, but there was this girl that was struggling in the water, and Arabella goes, "Daddy, she's drowning, she's drowning." And Natalie's waving at me too, and so I go in the water and I grab her and I pick her up and get her out of the water. Nobody thanked me, which was okay. You do it for Jesus. But it was kind of a wild circumstance. But Bella, even though she didn't go in and jump after this child, if she hadn't alerted me quick enough, if Natalie hadn't alerted me quick enough, then who knows what could have happened with that girl. And so maybe you're not the one jumping in, but you're the one alerting somebody, right? Alert of trouble. Maybe your friend says, "I want to hurt themselves," and maybe they're scratching themselves or they're doing some kind of bodily harm, and you need to tell somebody. And they say, "Well, you promised me, don't tell anybody, don't tell anybody." Guess what? If they're self-harming, you need to tell somebody, somebody you trust that's going to do something about it, because you could be the one that rescues them, right? Amen? And there are kids that do that. I was talking with Leonard and Holly, and how, you know, when I went on my first mission trip, 10 years later, I was still taking teens on the mission field, and there was a lot of kids that were even self-harming on the mission trip that we had to talk to. So guys, self-harm, it's a big thing that's going on in our schools. It's a big thing that's going on in our communities, and we can't be blind to it, and we need to know that when they're struggling, Jesus rescues. But we've got to say something. We've got to do something. We've got to step out and be bold, right? And so now day 4 was our most important day. Everybody say, when you do wrong,
when you do wrong,
Jesus rescues. And here we had the 3 crosses. This is bamboo over here, okay? And some kind of jungle kind of crosses there. And we talked to the kids, and we talked to them about how even our righteousness is like filthy rags. And I said, you know, these aren't really filthy, but I want you to pretend with me that these are dirty and filthy. That's our righteousness, right? That really, even our motives, sometimes when we do the right things, even after we're a Christian, can sometimes be tainted. And our righteousness in comparison to Christ is filthy rags. And we all sin, right? We all do wrong things. And I talked to them about it. And it's interesting because I even had one little girl, and most kids really understand that they do wrong, right? It's not like you have to convince them, like, really, come on, I know you're completely pure, but please, will you believe that you did one wrong thing? No, most kids get it, right? This kid says, "No, I'm good. I am good." And I said, "I know we're not going to throw you in prison, right? We're not saying you're some kind of criminal. But even in your goodness, we all mess up. We all do wrong things." And I said, "But Jesus, he loved us. He loved us enough to take your filthy rags," and we gave each one of them, and we took turns putting them up on the cross. That Jesus took our filthy rags. He took everything that we've done wrong now. And I said, sometimes as a kid, it's easy to not to do big wrong things, right? But when you get older, it's easier to do some pretty bad and wrong things. But yet Jesus will take those wrongs and he will put them on his shoulders. And I talked about by his stripes that we're healed, that he was ripped apart so that we could be stitched together, and that he bled for us. And we walked in all the parts of the cross there. And what was neat was we individually got to talk to the kids and ask them, when did you ask Jesus in your heart? Have you? And for those kids that said, "I don't know," we said, "Let's do it right now. Let's do it right now." But it was neat also asking them, you know, many of them answered, "I asked Jesus in my heart when I was in VBS. Isn't that awesome? That's such an awesome thing, Mason. Guys, this is our 5th year here doing VBS, 5th summer doing Vacation Bible School here in Mitchell, South Dakota. And Corrine was just talking about a girl that's now one of our helpers And she remembers the first year that we were here that she's doing the crawl and Karina's leading them in all the fun games, the amazing Holy Spirit energy that the Lord gives Karina. And she is going at the, showing them how to do the back crawl and everything. I mean, the joy, the smiles, the laughs, everything. I mean, it doesn't just happen. It goes and it multiplies in their lives. It's formative. Right? We believe it's formative in their hearts and in their minds every Sunday, but especially when we pour into them like we do when we do here. And you know, I thought, you know what? It would be awesome to show kids how to ask Jesus into their hearts so they can share with others, right? That a lot of us, we don't know how to, a simple way to share about Jesus. And I said there's, and you can't see all of them, so I'll walk you through them. The first one, everybody say, admit. Admit, that's the ABCs of salvation. Admit you're a sinner, right? And sometimes that's hard, right? Because I don't want to admit I'm wrong, right? I don't want to admit that I've done something that would offend my God, that would offend the creator of the universe, that would even separate me from God. But the first part is to admit I'm a sinner. And everybody say, believe. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he lived a perfect life. Did you guys know that when you get older, you'll talk to certain people and they'll go, well, I don't really believe Jesus was sinless. I really believe he did some secret sin here or there. He has to be the perfect lamb. He had to come and live a sinless life, and he did it for you and for me. Right? And so he is. We're not watering down the gospel. We're not going to take pages out of the Bible that we don't like or verses that we don't like. The Bible either says it or it doesn't. And if it does, then we believe the truth of God's word and we're not going to water it down. And so we don't teach kids, oh, yeah, no, he really was, but don't worry about it. Jesus was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. That when he died upon the cross, he took death and hell and the grave and sin, he destroyed it and made us new. And then we took washcloths that had vanilla on them, like, and we washed their hands and we said, you know, for example, Mason, Jesus cleanses you of your sin. And we did that with each child. We washed their hands and they could smell that vanilla all day. And it's a reminder that the sweet aroma of Christ, when he washes us and he cleans us and he makes us new. And he does so many awesome things in our life. So A, B, C, right? And the C is, everybody say, confess. There's actually two C's here. Confess, everybody say, commit. So confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Savior. Ask for forgiveness and commit to follow him all the days of your life. So those are the ABCs. That's how you lead somebody to Christ. You can do it using various scriptures and you can take them on the Romans road and you could do it through the, remember how during Dakota Fest we walk through the different colors of the wordless Bible and you can do it that way too, where you talk about creation and then you talk about black representing like this, kind of, or this, the dirtiness of sin and then red representing his blood and white representing purity and gold representing heaven, right? But whatever way that you do it, we need to be doing it, right? It's powerful to ask somebody to come to the service and hear God's word, and that's awesome. But some people won't walk into a church until they've had an encounter with Jesus outside the church. And you are that encounter with Jesus outside the church, right? And this was a long one for our kids, but hey, VBS said we could do it, so we did it. So everybody say John 16:33. Everybody, hold up your earth. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But make a heart. But take heart. Because I have overcome the world. John 16:33. I will tell you, at the end of the day, our kids were able to quote this verse. We actually had kids come up and we awarded prizes for inviting friends and memorizing scripture. And they had memorized it and they were able to tell us back without looking. And then on our last day was our big send-off day. This is Mow the Sloth, right? When you're powerless. Everybody say that.
When you're powerless, Jesus rescues.
There you go, Mo. That's Mo, okay? And the kids made little boats, and they were reminded that without wind, our boats won't ride through the sea. I reminded them of that of the day before craft. And we need that wind, that power to power our sail. And Jesus told the disciples, don't leave Jerusalem until he fills them with his power in Acts chapter 2. And I talked about how Peter at first, right, he was denying Jesus. He didn't want to admit he knew Jesus to anybody. But yet in the next instance, after Acts chapter 2, he's reaching thousands of people for Jesus. And in fact, we believe after intense study in Jerusalem, I really understand the context of the disciples receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the temple. And if you really want to sit down in a long discussion, I can talk about it with you. But I really believe they looked over the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they looked at even the high priest that was in the temple and said, "You who crucified Jesus, God raised him from the dead." I believe Peter looked in the face of the people that hated Jesus and crucified Jesus and spoke boldly about him. The same people he ran from and denied three times that he even knew the man. He's in the power of the Holy Spirit standing up. And so there we went into Peter and John at the temple. The gate beautiful, and we carried the kids on a mat and pulled them up. It was a lot of fun. They interacted in the skit and everything like that. But the power of God can be that the Holy Spirit. At one point, I lifted up. I believe it was Signe, and I said, "Let's dance." And I went like, she's like, "Ah!" But anyways, I said, "We partner with the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit's like a dance."
The Holy Spirit does not suddenly overtake me and I am now a Holy Spirit zombie.
No, I don't become some catatonic state when I begin to speak in my speaking in tongues. It's not like I'm like, you couldn't talk to me because somehow I'm not cognitive. I am. I'm still using this and I can lower my voice or raise my voice, but it's a partnership with the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit said, "Peter, talk to that man, because I really love him, and I want to heal that guy, that lame guy that hasn't walked for 40 years. Say to him, 'Look at me.'" And Peter goes, "Look at me," like he's going to receive something. He says, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And the man that couldn't walk since birth, muscle tissue started growing where there was no muscle tissue. Cells started calibrating and multiplying, and strength was infused in this man in a moment. That's what's going on. And it's because the Holy Spirit is working through Peter and John. And this was our verse. Everybody say this, Ephesians 1, 19 to 20. "This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead." That's right. Clap about it. All right. And that's it. Woo! I was just thinking clap. You know what I'm thinking? The same power, Paul says, dwells in us. How? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in us at the point of salvation. When we ask Jesus into our hearts, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And now he wants to give us a precious gift and fill us to overflowing with his baptism and move in us and through us. And he can do it with you and with me. And our children, we don't have to wait. This same power, Paul says, dwells in us. And I believe this whole week in a nutshell can minister to you. It ministered to our kids, and I believe it can minister to you today. That all these facts, all these truths from God's word, all these awesome parts of God's word, whether it's from Mary and Martha, or it's from the parables, or it's from Christ and him dying on the cross and raising from the dead, or it's from Peter and John at the temple and healing a man and being used by the power of the Holy Spirit as a conduit and partnership and a dance to move with the Lord, that God can do some pretty amazing things in and through our lives. And today we want you to know that Jesus rescues. Would you bow your heads with me? Today, getting right with God is as easy as ABC. And God calls us to do what? To admit we've done wrong. He calls us to believe that Jesus paid for it all. And he calls us to commit our lives to him, to ask for forgiveness and make that confession. If you walked away from God and you need to come back to the Lord, today is the day of salvation. And with every head bowed and eyes closed, we're not letting anyone distract us. We're focusing on Jesus. If you need to commit for the first time or you need to recommit to Jesus, I ask you to raise your hand and I'd like to pray with you. So I'm asking you to raise your hand. It's just going to take a moment. I see that hand. Amen. And you're just saying, I want to get back with God. Maybe you've wandered away from him. Maybe you need to ask him in your heart for the first time. That was true with some of our VBS kids. We're just going to take a moment. Maybe your child or your grandchild led you here through VBS. I'm here to tell you that they partnered with God's Spirit. The Bible says that his Holy Spirit brings us to salvation. And he's been calling you. Would you pick up the call? If that's you, I'll just give another moment. Would you raise your hand and I want to pray with you. And the one that raised their hand, if you would just, again, say this in your heart. Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I know that I need you. I believe that you are perfect. That you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. I confess that you are the Savior of the world. I believe in my heart that you are raised from the dead. And I commit to following you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.